Hello, my name is Tim Smith. This presentation is a podcast of in a series of called Enabling Cloud Computing with WebSphere. In particular, I'm going to talk to you about application optimization. That's a feature on a data power platform. If you have the charts, I'm going to name the chart that I'm on at the beginning of each slide. I'm going chart two, the agenda. First off, I'll chat a little bit about data power, what the product is, what it does. Then I'll go into some detail on application optimization, why it's important, how it relates to cloud computing. Then I'll go into some of the features of application optimization, self-balancing, intelligent load distribution, application routing, Web 2.0, and then we'll wrap up talking a little bit about the Quiesce support. So chart three shows some of the popular data power models that are available. In the lower right-hand corner is the XS40. That's primarily a DMZ platform. It specializes in security operations, signing, encrypting, de-encrypting, and so on. It also has a variety of authentication options. The XI50 over on the bottom left is a proper superset of the XS40. It has all the security options, but it also has higher level functions which are good for bridging or mapping one protocol to another, and other high-level functions. Up in the right-hand corner is the B2B appliance. This one is business-to-business messaging. Unlike the XI50 and the XS40, the XB60 maintains state on transactions, and it does this to hold on to that state until the transaction completes. Which is very important for these business applications. The performance has been well received. Another product that's fairly new is the XM70. This particular product specializes in high volume, low latency traffic, and does not have some of the bridging capabilities of the XI50, for example. Let's go to chart four. So typical data power use cases. Certainly, functional acceleration is a key. If we can do things in the DMZ or the ESB that offload back end, accelerate throughput, the whole system benefits. Within data power, we can do something called deep content routing. We can dig in to the packet, parse it, and make decisions based on the content. We can go up, make decisions based on application layer information. We can also perform a variety of security checks on application layer information. As I mentioned, the XI50 has lots of capabilities for bridging protocols. You can convert from one protocol type to another. And last but not least, there are a lot of monitoring capabilities within data power, the ability to retrieve information through SNMP. We also have a rich set of logging capabilities. So why an appliance for SOA? Well, we're going to go into this in some more detail when we talk about application optimization. But here are some things that customers have liked of the data power platform. First of all, it integrates several functions together, so it has a rich function set. This, in fact, helps reduce the box count both in the ESB and in the DMZ. Hardware reliability, dual power supplies, no spinning disk drive, and also attention to failover support. Data power has security at the heart of it, so it has past government common criteria, and has a rich set of security features. Higher performance, so even though there's a rich function set, we've concentrated on performance, and for example, style sheets are compiled into object code so that they run very fast, and this saves in performance cycles. And last but not least, consumability. So with data power, you can define and implement services within a few minutes rather than hours. Let's go to chart 6. So just kind of summarizing that, the data power secret sauce, XML and XSLT are sort of at the heart of the data power engine. As I mentioned, we've concentrated on performance, and we continue to do so. So we have hardware assists that perform much of this function, and all of these things merged together or integrated with the firmware create a fairly nice package. Chart number 7. So now I'm going to step back and talk a little bit about application optimization. So some of what is driving the interest in application optimization. Let's look first at some of the functions that go into the DMZ and the ESB. I'm not going to go through each of these functional categories in detail. But there are a lot of them, and so there are a lot of products that are competing in this space. And so it's very easy to have a DMZ that gets very cluttered. Why is there a surge of all these different things? Well, there are a variety of specializing products that do threat protection support. There are some products that allow you to look into application layer information and do routing dynamically, but to kind of get our head around it, a way to think of it is that we're making more and more decisions within the DMZ to better optimize the whole environment, and that may mean better threat protection support, but it may also be routing application requests in a more efficient manner. And so those really are the basis for what we think application optimization is. Basically, we think that we can implement several of these functions and do it in a manner that allows us to integrate those solutions through a flow in an efficient manner. And that does a couple of things. So it increases your performance and efficiency, but it also reduces the number of machines and products that you have both in the DMZ and in the ESB. And in the next few slides, I'll go through the functions that we're adding to data power to provide the application optimization capabilities. So the first of those is self-balancing. And if you're faced with having to put together a tier of data power platforms to meet the capacity of your environment. In the past, you would have to put a front-end load balancer or an IP sprayer to spray the traffic amongst the data powers that are participating. With self-balancing, we implement that front-end load balancing within data power so that you don't have any need for an external load balancer. We do this with a virtual IP, so all the traffic comes to one of the data power platforms. Then that data power platform balances it or bounces it over to the other data powers within that tier. And the amount of resource that's required to do this is minimal, so most of your CPU cycles are still used in processing those services. Configuration is quite straightforward. This is part of the standby control configuration where you would configure your virtual IP address. To turn on self-balancing, you simply enable self-balancing mode. Chart number 12, intelligent load distribution. So this is a big piece of application optimization. And I forgot to mention that self-balancing was also a feature or requires that you purchase the AO feature in addition to the base data power. So does intelligent load distribution. Intelligent load distribution is a mechanism for learning the topology of the back end. So as we started talking about cloud computing, that's an important aspect. You want to have configuration take place in an automated fashion so that you're not managing individual servers and so on. So within intelligent load distribution, we learn the topology of the back end. We do that, there's actually a servlet or application that we install on the back end. It allows us to monitor all of the servers that are configured and up and running in the back end. Data power periodically pulls that servlet for the server information. And then once it retrieves back the list of servers, it reconfigures itself to include those servers in its load balancer group. So the next chart 13, goes into the difference between static and dynamic configuration. So in intelligent load distribution, we retrieve that information from the back end. And that information is known as dynamic configuration. It's different from static in a few ways. So static is what you would manually sit down on the data power platform and configure either through the web GUI or through a command line interface or through some programmatic interface like SOMA. That configuration is persisted. If you power down and power back up, it will come back. The dynamic configuration is this runtime configuration, so it overrides the static configuration. So if you configured one or two servers in the static configuration and then configured the dynamic configuration to go retrieve workload management information from the back end, it would pull the new set of members, and if a member already existed in your static configuration, it would update it or keep it if the configuration were the same, but it would override it. So if that server was no longer in the back end, it would remove it from the load balancer group. So it adds members. It also adds weights associated with each of those members, which tell our load balancer groups what percentage of traffic to send to a specific host or server. So if you have double the weight of one server, it would receive twice the traffic of a server with half its weight. And then session affinity tables